Well, amen. Good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here on this Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving weekend. That's it. We're just glad you're here with us today. Those of you who are guests, we just want to say hi, and we're glad you're here. We hope that you'll feel welcome today, and that today we'll speak to your heart and encourage you and put you in a place where the Father's blessings can just fall on your life in the way that He wants them to. I want us to think about Thanksgiving this morning. You've seen, if you get out your life point outline, you're going to be talking about in everything giving thanks. And just to look at what Scripture says about that. So if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I want to be reading this from the Living Bible, just that one verse, and he says very clearly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Say that again. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes maybe you've wondered, Father, what do you want me to do? There's so many things that God has told us that He wants us to do. And He's just told us one of those things. Can we just say that verse together? Let's just say it together so we just really hear it. All right, you ready? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, there was a 10-year study. Studies going on all the time, but there was a 10-year study that was done. It was reported on in the Wall Street Journal, and it was about gratitude. And after 10 years of researching so many people, they found that people who feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, which means you have more friends, and more happiness than those who are not with an attitude of gratitude. This decade-long study also found that people who have an attitude of gratitude are less likely to be depressed, you're more likely to earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infection. Well, there you go. I mean, why would you not want to be more positive in life, right? It was a broad study. And so what you just heard was what they found for adults. They also were studying kids. And here's what they found. Children, kids, who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals for themselves, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and schools. Now, this study was not run primarily by believers. The study was run scientifically, according to what they understand, and watching people, and these are things that they found, things that God talks about for me. And so, you know, the question today is this, and this is what, you know, we need to think about, because, you know, Thanksgiving Day is coming, so it's like food, family, football, right? The three F's in your life. And the deal is, somebody is going to be probably saying a prayer, hopefully. Hopefully you won't just dive in like, you know, Rover. But that you'll give thanks for the food that you've got. And somebody will offer thanks, and maybe it'll be 15, 30 seconds. It's kind of a joke with our grandkids. They say, okay, who's the hungriest? I'm like, you know, that's not good coming from a pastor's home. So can we just, you know, kind of ramp it up a little bit, you know, kind of lift it up a little bit more. Somebody, you know, shoot off a 15, 30, 45 second prayer, maybe a minute, and thank God. You know, I think we just really have to ask ourselves. Coming up to Thanksgiving Day, am I a thankful man? Am I a thankful woman? Do I have an attitude of gratitude toward God? If you look at that question in your outline, it says, are you in the habit of giving God thanks? And I want you to think about that. I want you to ask yourself, am I in the habit of giving the Father thanks? And not just, you know, just shooting something off, but just the real deal. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, I know that I give thanks to God when things are going great, or maybe I've been overwhelmed by something that's, you know, just really, really good. But I want you to look back at our text. If you look back at that, it just says, in what give thanks? What does it say?
Everything.
In everything. Did you maybe just read over that, or did that grab you the first time? What does it mean when it says in everything? It's a question. Right. You think about that? God says, His will for me and everything that happens in my life. God says, John, I want you to understand, there are no exceptions. There's no excuses. In connection with everything in your life, here's what I'm looking for from you as your Father who has saved you and called you and has a plan for your life. In everything, no exceptions, nothing, nada. There is nothing that happens in your life. Everything in your life, I want you to what? Give thanks. No matter what it is. It doesn't matter. As a follower of Christ, doesn't matter. Whatever has happened, illness, disease, accident, loss of a loved one, whatever it is, loss of job. This, now, of course, I think there's one thing it does exclude. It excludes personal sin. Thank you, Lord, for my sin today. No, we wouldn't do that. That's unbiblical, of course. But the point is, no matter what happens to me or you in life, what is God looking for me? God said, I'm looking for an attitude of thanksgiving to you. It's not that I thank God for losing a job. I don't thank Him for cancer. I don't thank Him for the loss of a loved one. I thank Him in the midst of that. I still thank Him. No matter what my struggle is, no matter what my trial is, no matter what my testing is, I thank Him, not necessarily for it, but in it. And so look at the truth in your outline. No matter what the situation, we are to find a reason. We're to find a reason to thank God. Now here's the reason why. Because the Bible teaches me, and what God is saying to us today is, that thankfulness is the very basis of what it means to be born again. In other words, what we're going to find in Scripture is one of the marks that I am truly born again is that I live a grateful life. I live a thankful life. That people would be able to say, you know, do you know what comes out of their mouth a lot is gratitude. It's absolutely incredible. They're always thanking God for something. Just in the course of a conversation, they're always showing this attitude. It's just like their life is marked by thankfulness. Now, conversely, ingratitude is the primary mark of lostness. The lost man, God says, has a charge against him from heaven. What does God say to the lost man? He says, you refuse to do the very basic act of life. What is the very basic act of life? The basis of life is giving thanks to God who made us. That's what God wants us to see. That's what He wants us to walk out of here today, understanding that gratitude is just, it is the primary mark of somebody who is born again. If you want to turn and look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, all down in verse 21, the Apostle Paul is identifying the ungodly in a very definitive way, very, very plain. And he says, they knew God. Well, how did they know God? Well, he talks about it there in that chapter. He says, they know God through their conscience. In other words, one of the signs that we know that there is a God is that in every human being and in every race, there is a sense of right and wrong. Every race of people has a sense that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. It is absolutely universal. You don't find that in the animal kingdom, but you find it in the human kingdom. And God says, that is because of me. You are made in my image, and you know through your conscience there is something right and there are things that are just wrong. You know that. And God says, that is a sign, Scripture says, that is a sign that I am here and that I made you and you're made in my image. And then the other charge against a lost man is that they knew God not only by conscience, but they know God by creation. God said, you can see me in the universe. You can see me in everything around you. You can see me in all of creation. It declares I am here. And then it says, so they know that there is a God by their conscience. They know there is a God by creation and seeing everything. And then he says this, they did not honor him as God. Now, what does that mean? How do you honor God as God? You honor him as creator. That is the reason why at different times I brought messages with regards to the wrongness and the sinfulness of evolution. Evolution is not only ridiculous, it is against God, it is anti-God, and when you hold to evolution, you are dishonoring the Creator, who God said, I created everything by divine fiat, and I created everything mature. He made Adam a mature man, did he not? This is where you respond. He did. He made Eve a mature woman, did he not? Yes. He married them. They were married the first day they were created. God said, if I can do that, why would you think it a difficult thing that I would make an earth mature and a universe mature so that when you run all your tests on it, it would look like it's billions of years old? I made it mature. I didn't start out and let it evolve. I made it in a divine fiat, and the time will come when I will destroy it by divine fiat. He will set everything ablaze. We are living just like on an atomic bomb. And when God starts to split these atoms, the whole universe is going to disintegrate, and God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But he says, you knew I am here. You know I'm here. You know I'm here through creation. You know I am here through your conscience. And he said, you did not honor me as God. You did not honor me as creator. And you do not give me thanks. You don't thank me for everything that I give you in our life. Even a child of God, even though I'm born again, I can become ungrateful. And when I am ungrateful, that is abnormal. That's an abnormal Christian life. And that's the reason why we need messages like today. That's why at Thanksgiving, we need to think about being thankful, because all we like sheep have gone where? Astray. So it's our tendency to wander. And maybe you haven't been grateful as you should. And so this is the chance for us to just kind of uptick that this morning. So I want you to look in your outline. Number one, there are some calls to thanksgiving in Scripture. And I want to give you a couple of them this morning. First of all is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For we know that how many things work together for our good? All things work together for our good. That declaration covers every issue of my life. Look at the truth in your outline. No matter what happens in my life or your life, God works all things to the good of those who love him every single time. Because I belong to him, because you are his, what happens may not be a good thing, but God says, because you're mine, every time something that's not good happens, every time a bad thing comes, I will take a bad thing and I will turn it to a good purpose for your good and your eternal glory. And if you believe that God is at work sovereignly controlling all the small things and all the large things of your life, blending them together to take you to some goal that he's got out there in the future for you, then you can handle everything in life and be thankful because you know it fits into his ultimate plan. When a husband is taken prematurely in life, when a wife is taken prematurely or a child, those are hurtful, hard things. But the comfort that comes to us is that we know it's not just something that just happened. It's not just something that was horrible and that has no reason or no rhyme to it. We know that there is a God, and we're in a world that is touched by sin and horrible things happen. But I, at the same time, I've got a Father that, because I love him, he says, my promise to you is this will not destroy you. I will not permit it to destroy you. If you will honor me, if you will walk with me, if you will stay with me, I will bring good into your life through the hard things and the evil things that have happened. I will bless you. Will you trust me? That's what he's saying. Does that not put a smile on your face? Does that not give you comfort in your soul? Here's the truth in your outline. We are submerged in a culture of smothering ingratitude. Isn't it incredible? We are a generation of people. We have more than any generation before us. And yet with all and everything that people have today, they know that there is so much more out there that they don't have, and they want it, and they can't get it, or it's not come to them yet. And because of that, they're ungrateful. They're not thankful for what they already do have in life. And we are instructed to be grateful in an ungrateful culture. And we're told that repeatedly. So we're going against the grain. But the second verse I want to give you is 2 Corinthians 9:11. Having been enriched with everything, it produces thanksgiving to God. Not only has God saved us, but God is saying, I am making everything in life that you need available to you. I will take care of you. God gives me food to eat. He gives me the necessities of life. And God says what he looks for from me is that from day to day I would say, Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Before I eat, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving to me. Thank you for providing for me. And then the third one is Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Don't let immorality or impurity or greed be named among you. Now, he's talking about the actions of our life. But then look at verse 4. There shouldn't be filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, this is about what comes out of my mouth. And maybe some of us here this morning got kind of a potty mouth. Need to cut it out. It's dishonoring to God. Amen? Huh? It's not cute. It's ungodly. And we need to watch those kinds of things. And he says, what comes out of our mouth, none of it should be dirty. He said, rather, what ought to come out of your mouth because of everything that I've done for you, what ought to be coming out of your mouth every day is thanksgiving. I want you to look, if you will, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Interesting passage. It connects with what we're looking at. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, God says, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does it look like? How do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? It doesn't say you're full of the Holy Spirit if you fall down and flop around on the ground. Doesn't say you're full of the Holy Spirit if you do other kinds of weird things. It's very, the Holy Spirit of God, when he comes in, when he is filling us, it's very clear because he says in verse 20 what it is. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. A spirit-filled child of God is a thankful believer. Even in times of trouble, and all of us know trouble, would you agree with that? There's nobody here that doesn't know trouble. There's none of us here that hasn't had a night when we've shed tears. There's none of us that haven't maybe gone to bed at times and turned our face toward the wall because life is just difficult. And these are the times when we need to remember what God has said to us. And what he's saying is, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So even in times of trouble. Now listen to this. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And so God is saying, even in times when I have great anxiety, and I've known that. Have you known that? How many of you have known times of great anxiety? I have. I've known anxiety so much I've had ulcers. I've known anxiety so much I've had rashes break out. I've had anxiety at times. I've had kidney stones. I have known all those things, and I haven't handled it well. And that's why this means so much to me. And he says, even in times of great anxiety and great fear, even in times of worry and stress, God says, I want you, the sign that you're full of the Holy Spirit is your life will be characterized by thankfulness. And so the truth in your outline, believers ought to be known for grateful hearts and grateful mouths. So what I want to do in the rest of the message this morning is, I want to speak of some gifts that are worthy of thanksgiving. What do we need to thank God for this morning? What do we need to thank him for? Well, number one, thankful for the grace that God has shown me. Thankful for his grace. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. So biblically, what God is saying, I want you to remember, grace is everything he does for you and he does for me in the midst of every need of our earthly life. And every time God does something for us in the midst of the need of our earthly life, we never deserve it. God says, every time I give to you, you understand it's not because you've earned it. It's because I've given it to you in grace. It's all grace. And the truth in your outline, grace is God giving me what I need, not what I deserve. We can say amen to that. God, you've just been good. All God has done and all that God has given into my life and your life wasn't earned by us. It wasn't worked for by us, and I and you will never deserve it. It's interesting. He gives us kind of a litany of the things that he has done for you and he's done for me if we are children of his, if we are regenerate men and women. God gives us this litany of things that he's done for us in Psalm 103, verse 2 through 11. Now listen to what it says. I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. And he's listing them. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful. He is tender toward those who don't deserve it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God is tender toward you? When he ought to, as mama said, my mama loved me. She did. But there would be times, I think I've told you, where she would say, John Warren, if you don't cut it out, I'm going to jerk a knot in you. She never did that. I often wondered how she would do that. And even though I never saw it done, I believe she could do it. Whatever that would be. It's like, I'll jerk a knot in you. But God is always tender toward me, even when I don't deserve it. And listen to this, He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Listen, I know every one of us, you know you've been disciplined for your sin. Do you understand you have never been disciplined the way that you deserve to be disciplined? Do you understand? You and I have never gotten it the way we should have gotten it. But whatever God did, He did what He did with mercy. He did what He did without bearing a grudge. It wasn't like stuff just had built up and He just kind of came on us with a vengeance. He never has punished us as we deserve for our sins. He's given us this litany of gifts to us that we ought to be grateful for. And grace is God coming after me first. When I was helplessly lost, I was not looking for Him. You're not, you were not looking for Him. There are people here this morning. You're here, but you're not looking for Him. But I'm going to tell you what the thing will be. If you find God, it will be because God came after you. And you are headed for hell, not heaven. And you're totally unable to save yourself. You're totally unable to change your attitude. You're totally unable to be a different man or a different woman. And there's no hope for you in the future. And God in mercy says, I'm going to show Him grace. I'm going to show her grace. And God did that for you and you. And He did it for me. And I never earned it. I never did anything to get His attention. This Thanksgiving, being thankful to God, is first of all because of the grace that He's shown us, but number two, thankful for the plan that He made for me. You know, one of the things that I need to understand is that my life and your life is not an accident. That's one of great comfort for me. Alf and Weston Green got married. They loved each other. And I was the third child born of that love affair between my mom and my dad. And the reality is that I know, according to Holy Scripture, that it was God's sovereign will that Alf and Weston Green would first of all have two girls, and then they would have a boy. And God's will was for that first girl to come home to Him early. Patricia Ann died before her second birthday. And it all worked together for God's plan. And it was God's plan for me to kind of bring up the rear. And the thing I realized is that my life was not an accident. It wasn't just an event of my mom and my dad's lovemaking. I don't get that because I just dreamed up something to make me feel good. That's what God teaches in Scripture. Everyone listening and everyone watching on the TV this morning was made by God for a purpose. You were here on purpose. The truth in your outline, there are no accidental births. There are accidental parents who are parents out of time, parents before God's will would be, but there's no such thing as an accidental baby. God made you for a reason. Whether your biological mother loved you or not, doesn't matter. Whether she kept you or let you be adopted, doesn't matter. You were formed in her womb because God had a plan for you. And the Bible says that God's plan for my life and yours is a good one. There's not a person in this room that God doesn't have a good plan for your life. Would you say that's good news? God's got a good plan. And the truth in your outline is this. Your life is not a train wreck. Your poor choices, other people's sin against you or in your life doesn't make your life a bad idea. Because God's plan is ultimate. Jeremiah 29:11, I have good plans for you, says the Lord. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. Now, you hear this and you rejoice. We're excited. We're glad for that. But there's something I want you to realize. Romans 8:28 says that God works mistakes He works sins. He works faults. He works failures. He works what other people do to hurt me and to hurt you. He works it all to my good. You know why? Because I love him and I am called according to his purpose and I have yielded my life to his will. And the flip side to that is because he called and I answered, I belong to him and everything in my life is working for my good because I'm surrendered to his will for me. And he says, I promise you, I will work everything according to your good. And that makes me happy. But there's a flip side that I want you to understand. And this is something that God wants me to understand. God's plan for my life, for my life and your life, is not always a happy plan. It's not always comfortable. God's plan for me includes, now listen, periodic places of pain. That's in God's plan. For me, I don't like it, but it's there. God's plan for me includes disappointments. It includes me being disappointed. It includes me having expectations and them not being fulfilled. It includes God disciplining me. It includes God correcting the course of my life. It includes me experiencing unanswered prayer. All those things are in God's plan for me, and I'm telling you, it is a wonderful plan. Because all God sends or permits is for my good, and it is for a future. Now, let me tell you where I get this kind of information. It is because of Isaiah chapter 50, if you want to look there, and verse 10 and verse 11. Now, just listen. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord? That would be those of us who are born again, right? Amen? You fear the Lord. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? In other words, you're obedient to the Holy Scriptures, that walks in darkness and has no light. You're in a period of life and it doesn't make sense. You don't understand why it's happening. You can't explain it, and nobody else can either. You walk in darkness. You have no light of understanding. He says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And then he gives a warning. He said, behold, every one of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, you walk in the light of your fire and among the brands you have set ablaze, and you will have from my hand this. You will lie down in torment. God said, listen, when I put you in a period of darkness, when I put you in something and you don't know where you're supposed to go, to the right or to the left, God said, you be very careful about making your own way. When I'm not giving you clear direction about moving forward or going back or going here or going there, God said, I want you to do one thing. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Even when you're in the dark and you cannot see, trust me. That is why God permits me to go through times of unanswered prayer. He's listening, he's watching me, but he's not talking to me. I can't see him, I can't sense him, I can't feel him. God's plan includes times when I go through pain. I may go through loss. Somebody may turn against me. It includes me being disappointed. Disappointed in people. Disappointed in the events of life. Disappointed in so many things. God permits that in my life for one reason, that I learn to trust him. He said, trust me. I have your life in my hands. Trust me. I want you to trust me. Adam and Eve didn't trust me. I told them, stay away from the tree. They didn't trust me. Do you understand? Again and again, we have to make up for what Adam and Eve did. We have to learn to trust him and to take him at his word. Let me give you one more. You turn over, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, and down in verse 8. Now just listen to what he said. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers. In other words, I'm going to tell you something as an apostle. It's probably going to surprise you. Somebody who is anointed of the Lord. Somebody who has the power to work miracles. I'm going to do something that's probably going to surprise you. Let me tell you this. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, and that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. In other words, Paul said, I came to the place where I just said, God, just let me die. This is so bad. This is so horrible. This is so grievous. Just let us die. We can't do this anymore. He said, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Now listen, so that we would not trust ourselves but in God. There it is. God does that again and again and again. And so this Thanksgiving, I want to give him thanks for the grace that he's shown me. And that he has taught me on this Thanksgiving weekend. That he permits things in my life nobody can explain and I don't totally understand. And he says, when I do that, it's because I want you to learn to trust me. Number three, that we're thankful for the home that he's making in heaven for us. You ought to be thankful for that. 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will be not be a house made with human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. It is a biblical fact this morning that every human being was made to live forever. God made us to live that way. Here's the reality in your life point outline. One day, each of us will die, but that's not going to be the end of our existence. We put bodies in the ground every day, but that doesn't mean they're not alive somewhere. One day, your body will cease to function. And they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to bury you or they're going to burn you. That's comforting, isn't it? Bury or burn. Those are your only two options. And your body is going to cease to exist. But that's not going to be the end of you, God says in Scripture. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Us, plural, denoting the Trinity. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. And when he made me in his image, he gave to me a soul. And I'm going to spend eternity in one of two places. I'm going to be in either heaven or I'm going to be in hell, depending on whether or not I've received Christ and trusted his grace or not. Heaven and hell are real places. They're not symbolic. Jesus taught more about hell than he did about heaven. And if anyone ought to know what's out there beyond this life, God the Son should. Don't you agree? God knows. And be thankful this Thanksgiving for the grace of heaven. We don't have to fear the future. In Christ, we know this Thanksgiving, where we're going when we breathe our last. Look at the truth in your outline. You're never ready to live till you're ready to die. Isn't that the truth? I mean, when you don't fear death anymore, then you can really live. And here's the question. Are you this Thanksgiving ready to meet the God who made you in your mother's womb? Because you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And only a fool would go all through life unprepared for what is inevitably out there in your future, and that is death. Everybody in this room is terminal. The only question is when. But God said, I don't want you to be afraid of that. I want you to be thankful to me because of the grace I've shown you, the plan that I have given that guides your life, and a heaven that awaits you. You know where you're going to go. And then lastly, be thankful for the changes he's made in you. I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Can you say that about yourself? And that's because of what God has done. God has made changes in our lives that we would have never made on our own if it hadn't have been him. God did it. He did it with the pressure. He did it with all the many things that he does to bring change in our lives. Now, would you close your eyes for just a minute and bow your heads? I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just say thanks to him. We're going to have an invitational time, and I want to invite you this morning to come. Everything, child of God, that you own, everything that you are, comes from him. Without him, there would be nothing in your life. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, everything has come from you, O God, and everything belongs to you. There's nothing in your life that you can't give God thanks for. Without Him, we would have nothing. Are you thankful to Him? Thankful this morning for the plan that He has for you, that He's got a good plan, for the grace that brought you into relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, and that grace that supplies every need of your life, that grace that makes life enjoyable, that grace that has kept you going, and for the fact that heaven is in your future. And it's in your future because of Him. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity just to come before Him and say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Maybe you just want to come and stand here at the front as an act of thanksgiving. You may want to come and kneel at one of these steps. But I want to invite you to come. There may be someone here this morning, and God has revealed Himself.